Okay. As Elder Nick's getting ready, I'm going to read the passage that we've been over the last 3 weeks. Bring your minds back to whatever it is that you want to give testimony about, ask about, discuss. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience's sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Okay. Week number 3. What questions do you have? What comments do you have? What affirmations do you have? What convictions do you have coming out of this sermon? These 3 sermons. We just keep going. Let's just keep preaching this over and over and over again.
We're almost done. We're done, I think. Corey.
So one of the questions that was asked by one of my family members was if the 10th, or not the 10th, but the 6th commandment tells us not to murder, is it okay for a police officer to take a life?
Well, from what perspective is that question being asked? Is it okay for a police officer to take a life? Well, one of the things that police officers swear to do is protect and serve, and one of the things that they acknowledge or speak that they may do is take a life. And we know that's part of being a police officer in our system of government. And what I would have you to talk through with them is, are we talking about for a Christian or for a non-Christian? Because for a Christian, to take a life is something that I believe we're not to do. I believe that, that officer that recently killed Michael Brown, he's taken that life, and I don't know if he professes Christianity or not, but boy, his life could be served preaching the gospel instead of carrying a gun to keep down evil. So it's right in the eyes of the law for the police officer. It's right in that God uses that to keep down chaos. It's right that just like for Pharaoh or for Judas, I mean, there's a plan for everyone's life. I would encourage you to consider that for a Christian to swear themselves into the military or to swear themselves into police duty, knowing they may have to kill someone, I certainly couldn't do that. I certainly couldn't make a split decision, a snap judgment that says, I need to take that man's life now because he's deserving of death. So, I would say, for you, Corey, that would be sinful and not something you ought to do. For you to be a police officer taking a life. See, God uses secondary agents, and our minds go to, well, that doesn't seem right. It's God ordained that there's military. There's God ordained that there's policemen, or that there's police officers. That's God ordained. As we just learned, we're to fund that activity, but we're not to be that activity.
So there's a section of Scripture, or there's a historical event in the Bible that I think helps us understand this a bit of a conundrum that we're presented with in this situation. At one point in history, Israel was being tremendously rebellious to the law of God. And at that point, God stirred up the king of Babylon's heart to come and attack Israel, to take them captive in order to punish Israel. So, was that right for Babylon, led by the king of Babylon, to attack Israel? Was that right for them to do that? I'm going to give you the scriptural answer for that. God punished Babylon for doing exactly what he stirred them up to do. So, to help us wrap our minds around this, armies and policemen are part of God's design, and governments that have armies and policemen, however those individual governments design that. And God uses those armies and governments and policemen for his glory to carry out his sovereign plan. But that doesn't excuse the individuals in there who sin by violating the commandments in the course of carrying out what the will of God is.
And I think, Corey, the other thing I would add to that would be, for all of us, based on what scripture would you say the taking of a life as a soldier or a police officer is following the will of God? Tamara has an answer to that question, I think.
Well, the only reason that was, I've been meaning to ask this question for a long time and it never came up. But there is scripture, I feel, that doesn't say it's wrong to be a soldier or a police officer, which that is their job, is to keep chaos down, which could result in killing somebody.
Okay.
So Luke 3, starting in verse 13. So John the Baptist has just called everybody to repentance. And the people start asking them, what shall we do? And he starts answering people what they should do in their current situation. And one of those men is a soldier. It's verse number 14.
Okay.
And it says, likewise, the soldier asked him, saying, and what shall we do? And so he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and to be content with your wages.
Okay.
Now, the reason that I'm pulling this out in this circumstance is that he didn't say, stop being a soldier, repent of your wanting to kill people, and be a Christ follower.
Okay. So what did he say?
He said,
what was the first thing he said?
Do not intimidate anyone.
Okay. What do soldiers, based on today's scripture even, what do soldiers and police officers do? They strike fear in us. They carry a gun. Just by their mere presence and what they have the authority to do and what they carry on their hip, they intimidate us. In other words, he's saying, just like the tax collector, go out and if you can do your job without doing these things, so he's basically showing them you can't do these things. You can't be a tax collector and take no more than you're supposed to take because that's the way they made money. The tax collectors would go out and they would take the tax for Rome and they would take more tax for themselves. So if they no longer were going to do that, how would they exist? How could a police officer, a soldier in this case, go out and not intimidate anyone and accuse falsely? Do soldiers have perfect judgment? Is every accusation they make or a police officer correct? In other words, do they ever falsely accuse? Has a police officer ever pulled somebody over or arrested someone wrongfully?
I'm sure they have.
Right, so how are you going to be that and not falsely accused? So this is a passage that people want to use to say, well, he didn't tell them to stop, and I would assert that he did. They couldn't keep functioning in the ways they were functioning and be those things. In this case, we're looking for, because he didn't say not to do it. In other words, he didn't say stop being it. We think then it's okay to be it. Now, I want you to know something. And I've said this a number of times. This is the direction I would say that. Could a police officer become a Christian? Of course. Could a soldier become a Christian? Of course. Could a Christian become a police officer? I don't see how. Could a Christian become a soldier? I don't see how. So if we're talking about somebody who's already in that job and gets saved like this, I'm open for discussion about that. I think if I was a police officer that got saved, one of the things I would do is ask for a desk job where I don't have to carry a gun. If I was a soldier, I'd be done because I can't be a soldier. I've already sworn to give that my life is property of the United States government. I've given my life to the government. When I've given my life to Christ, I can't do both. So I would put me in jail. I'm not going to go out and kill anyone. Because God's not telling me to go kill someone. Some commanding officer who's ultimately led by our president is who's telling me to go kill someone, and I'm not going to do that. So, could a soldier or a police officer become a Christian? Of course. Anyone can be saved. Could a Christian become one of those things? I don't see how. I don't see how I can go to Scripture and say, yep, I'm going to become those things as a Christian. Brad. And by the way, if I were sitting with a soldier or a police officer, I would want to examine their heart with them.
So did, I'm thinking about how God works and the way God does things and creation. Did God directly create government in the way that he maybe directly created the order of man over woman? Or did sinful man create amongst themselves a fallen system that never had a chance in the first place?
Well, so...
And then God just uses that fallen system to do
right.
his will in.
So did God create the Republic of America and that structure? No. Did God...
I mean, just the concept of government dating all the way back to the beginning of time.
Did he? Absolutely.
I wouldn't be asking if I knew.
Absolutely he did. We look just today. See, when
In the way that he created, let's say, man to be over woman in a direct and specific way.
Okay. So he created and commanded that Moses have men to be over groups of people. He created in Leviticus in the Levitical priesthood, he created a group of men that would oversee Israel governmentally and spiritually. So certainly he created the governing of the masses by some.
So for example, the fact that our police officers carry guns today is more so a direct of fallen man and their ideas as opposed to something God ordained, whatever, from the start.
So guns, yeah. I mean, God
or
knew
whatever.
God knew we were going to have guns, but you know, he didn't create guns and say carry this thing around because they didn't get invented for a long, long time. But he certainly so. God ordained kings, and those kings had the power to govern. And they had the authority to take life and to imprison. So God created structure. And I don't know how else to answer that. I mean, God, we have examples of government, if you will, in the Old Testament. Now, there are no governments like that. Because that was specially for the nation of Israel. And that's been blown up by God.
Because I think of, like, I don't know, gay marriage, for example, as fallen man making a complete mockery of what was supposed to be this thing, but man has used it for this. And I just didn't know if how it physically came to be.
Well, let's put it this way. Let me go another direction that'll maybe help. Who is the prince of the power of this world, of this air, of this space? Who is the prince of this space?
Satan.
Satan. Who are our governmental systems set up by?
Satan. Arguably Satan.
Satan. So certainly the way we govern is sinful. However, God still uses that, and we're still to respect that authority.
Because I think of capital punishment as, you know, is that man's fallen idea, and God just uses that in his providence to do that, or did God
go back and look at directly. The Old Testament law for Israel. Hey, they commit adultery, kill them. She's not a virgin when she gets married, kill her. Man rapes a woman, kill him. Somebody kills somebody, kill him. That was God's structure. So capital punishment was to keep his people pure and to purge them from all of this defilement. And that was God's plan. Now, so capital punishment, certainly the government has the authority to do that, and they have the authority to not do that.
And then help me understand, if that's the case, why we ought not be of part of something that is theoretically God-ordained.
Well, so can you judge rightly who should die? Can you?
Well, no, absolutely not.
Nope. So I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be the judge. I'm not going to be the guy who does a lethal injection. I'm not going to be that guy. I can't judge rightly. God will judge. But see, this goes back to exactly what we're looking at. Paul is writing to a group of Christians. They weren't involved in the government. This is what, for me, is so hard to understand why we don't just understand this. In this book of the New Testament, we see no examples, zero examples of Christians being involved in government. Zero examples. We see some who was, that got saved, that got out of the business, Saul to Paul. So we see no Christians, we see no commandments or mandates that we need to be part of that system. It tells us how to interact with that system, which it presupposes we're not part of. Because that's our focus is not temporal. We don't want to waste our time focusing on the temporal. We want to use our time focused on the eternal.
So are there other things that God has ordained directly, indirectly, that Christians not ought to be part of that's God's design?
I don't understand the
question. So we're making the point that God has ordained...
Basketball. Basketball. Has God ordained basketball? I don't find it in here. It's of sinful man. It's all sin nature. So can we be part of that? Sure. Can we do that without sinning? If not, we ought not be part of it. So I don't, you know, Brad, there's hundreds of thousands of systems or things that exist. And the question isn't what can we be involved in. The question is what are we to be doing? So if I'm going to be a basketball player who can never be part of my local assembly or rarely be part of my local assembly, who cannot be edified and equipped, who therefore doesn't go out and preach the gospel, I don't see how a Christian can be a basketball player. Now, that goes right in the face of all these NBA players that say they're Christians, and they may be. I don't see how. I don't see how you can be a professional golfer. You aren't part of your local assembly. Zach Johnson has a decent testimony. I just don't see how you get there. What is it that has him golf? I think he likes the competition. I think he likes the income. I don't know him, so I could be wrong. I don't think he said, I want to be a professional golfer because that's the best place I can, that's the best platform I have for preaching the gospel. And back to what we're talking about here, government, just look how. So, best example we got is there's a soldier who gets saved. What does he tell him to do? And, you know, I think about the centurion who gets saved. He could not have gone back to his old job, people. Because his old job included persecuting people. His old job included oppressing people. His old job included imprisoning Christians. He couldn't have gone back to his old job. So just because it doesn't say stop doing that, you can superimpose what they did onto God's word, and he couldn't have kept doing it. Who else? What else? I also, it's wonderful, this is good discussion, and I also want us to continue to have our minds changed, because this is our nature. We kind of come at it from the protective or defensive or the negative, instead of just coming at it as I've tried to preach this. Here's how to interact with government. Submit to them, pay taxes. That's our job. Why does our mind go to, well, can somebody be a police officer? Can somebody be a soldier? What's that got to do with us? None of us in here are police officers. Now, we might know people that are. It's worth discussion with them. But for us, that's not even a relevant discussion. A relevant discussion is, what do we do with this? And by the way, so for me anyway, and what I would have you think about, okay, if this is how we interact with government, as I'm raising up my kids, is one of the things I should tell them, hey, you could be a policeman someday. I wouldn't. But look, if Tanner wanted to go be a police officer, he's not a believer. It's a fine occupation for a non-believer, and he may very well go do it. But I would tell him, son, you're putting in a position where you're going to have to judge and take life, and I would encourage you to consider you're not God, you ought not be taking life. Corey, you have the mic again?
Yeah, so yes, why does it matter? And I think it's, as I consider it, it seems like it would be good for me and to know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that the government that we follow doesn't necessarily mean that we follow them because they're good. Even if they're evil, it's good to understand that there is evil in it.
Of course.
But it's important that we, regardless, that we're still to follow it.
Absolutely.
We're still to submit to it. So asking the questions of, is it okay for them or not okay, I think it's beneficial just to recognize that that's still fallen man.
So
still
good. Corey, what I think I would have you answer then to your kids and all you just said, who cares if it's okay or not okay? You're to submit to them. At the end of the day. At the end of the day, that's the message. At the end of the day, it's not even our job. At the end of the day, it's not even my job to decide whether somebody ought to be a policeman or an army, a soldier. At the end of the day, I know how I'm to interact with government. And it doesn't matter if they're good or evil. We've talked about this ongoingly. We've talked about this much. There's no such thing as a good government. It doesn't exist. Do you realize there's no such thing as a good government? It does not exist. When you use a definition of good from the Bible, there's no such thing as a good government. It doesn't exist.
So in the sermon today, at the start of the sermon, Pastor talked about the importance of understanding the things we are reading in context. And let's just think about that for a second as we think about this section. What is the context of this? Who is this letter written to? The saints who are in Rome. What did Rome do? Well, first and foremost, they murdered our Lord and Savior. After that, for hundreds of years, and probably already by the time I don't know, actually, by the time Paul wrote this letter, they were engaged in the business of persecuting Christians. Real persecution, not American nanny nanny boo boo I don't like you persecution. I mean, these are the kinds of people that shortly after when this letter was written, they would be burning Christians to be torches at night. Listen to me. They would be burning people to be torches. And Paul says to these people in Rome, submit to the governing authorities. It's really, look, it's really simple.
And financially support them.
We come from this abnormal time where we have this pseudo-Christian culture, and I mean pseudo-Christian. It's not really Christian. Quit thinking the United States of America is a Christian culture, and quit thinking it's the new Israel, and quit thinking that God's favor is all over this place. Quit thinking that way. It's not helping you, and it's not true.
So these questions that we ask, that we go to, are like me now saying, is it okay for governments to burn people as torches? I mean, just kind of a silly question, really.
Right.
And doesn't matter in the application of this scripture.
Right, of course it isn't. They will be judged, and we're to pay taxes to support them, and we're to submit to them. That's what we're to do. And again, I'm not, boy, please don't hear this at all rebukingly. That's not my intention. I'm not trying to squelch discussion. Please don't hear that. I'm just trying to help us rethink. Take away from this what we're supposed to take away from it. Because 99% of people that go to churches and read their Bible want to take away all kinds of stuff that isn't here. Just let's take away let's just think how it tells us to think. So it's okay. Does anybody disagree? This scripture tells us to submit to authorities and out of fear and out of conscience and pay taxes to support those governments. Anybody disagree with that based on this passage of scripture? Am I confused about that? Again, this is fine to discuss if you know, that's what we need to know. And when Jack gets to be 19 and says, Dad, I think I want to be a police officer, then I'll go down that path. And as your children ask that question, I think it's a fine question. But again, and I think it's a fine discussion, but let's get our minds to the right place of, I don't know if it's good or bad. I know it's under God's providence. I know that. I know God uses that and will execute judgment. I know all that. I don't know if it's good or bad. I do know this. Police officer says to you, Caleb, put your hands behind your head. Caleb, you put your hands behind your head. I do know that. I do know if a soldier comes and we're having some kind of, I don't know what, and he comes in and says, give me all your food. Give him all my food. I'm going to submit. They don't ask me to sin. The only time I'm not is if I'm a German. See, I don't want to digress, but if I'm a German soldier, I will not kill a Jew in the Holocaust. And I'm a Christian. Everybody agree with that? Is that easy? Anybody struggle with that? It's okay if you do, but they were just following orders. But those orders, I would say, superseded God's orders. What's the difference between that and an American soldier? We would have to argue that the American soldier's on the God side. It's not true. There is no difference. So can a Christian become a soldier? I don't see how. Can a Christian be a soldier? Can a soldier become a Christian? Absolutely. Could he stay in the job he's in? I suppose up until, well, first of all, he's got to say, I'm no longer property of the government, I'm property of Christ. Secondarily, the first time they say, go in and have this mission that will take life, I'm not going. So I think I would take care of my soldierhood. See, that's part of our bad thinking. We don't stretch to think German soldiers should not have killed those Jews, shouldn't have burned those Jews in the incinerators. They should not have done that. They should have, if they were Christians, stood up and said, no, I won't do that. But then we think America somehow, our soldiers should do that. Somehow that makes sense. You'd have to argue then America is on the side of God, and that's clearly not true. See, and I know, like for Dad, struggles, bothers him lots because he is so patriotic from his upbringing. He had an uncle who was in the services that he thought very highly of. This uncle was more like a dad to him than his dad. So all these things affect his thinking. Again, these are very logical discussions. So back to, can I be a soldier? No, but here's what I know. I know how I'm to interact with them. I'm to respect them, submit to them, to give taxes, to give customs, to give fear, and to give honor. That's what I'm to do.